We are so thankful that you made it in safely this evening. We know that those roads just got a little bit crazy on the end. We know there's a whole lot more of you joining with us online tonight in lieu of that, of getting in. But we want you to know that we just believe and trust the Lord to move and do a mighty thing for you. Because you're here, because you carved out the time to come and be a part of it. We're so grateful. I'm guessing most of you in the room have been here on a Lenten Wednesday before. I don't know that you would have necessarily tried out the roads. So I won't give you a whole big explanation of how we navigate on our Wednesday nights. But as you know, we've been taking this opportunity to invite in just members of the church, people who are sitting out in those seats every Sunday on the Wednesdays that we gather together, and just giving them an opportunity to just share some of how God has been shaping them and the messages he's been putting on their hearts. Before I introduce tonight's speaker, I do just want to take like a quick survey. How many of you in the room are parents of daughters? Okay. How many of you have married off daughters at this point? Okay, it gets a lot fewer. Okay, so I just have to tell you that years ago when my oldest two girls were starting the dating process, and they had dated a couple of boys, and I remember having a conversation with Pastor Mark, and I had asked him in that day, I said, Pastor Mark, is there ever a boy that's good enough for your girl? Because I just felt like our girls were like, they were dating nice boys, but we're always kind of like, Now, I need to say on Pastor Ben's behalf, because as you know, like, he is my son-in-law. So I will say the boys that my two married girls ended up with, like, we knew fairly quickly. We were like, oh, yes. So we were delighted to say, like, there are boys who are good enough for our girls. But I want to tell you that the wife of Josh, who's going to be speaking tonight, her name is Melissa. Melissa is not one of my own, but she's pretty gosh darn close. So I got to tell you, she spent some months overseas doing some missions work with Crew when she was finishing her college time, and she came home and there was this boy. So we were all like, okay, let's get him to town because we got to vet this kid. We got to see what this is about. And I want you to know that Josh came and he sat around a fire with a bunch of us and he welcomed every question we wanted to ask. And it was one of those things where it just did not take long and we went, oh, this is good. And it has just been such a delight to see he and Melissa, they're now married and have three children. And when I had asked him to come, actually, he was telling me tonight that the last time that he's spoken in front of a crowd, he was actually in Romania, it was, Josh, with a translator. So if he starts speaking gibberish or something, I'll do my best to come up and be like, la, 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 so he can pause. Just kidding. He won't need to do that. But we truly were just such fans of Josh and Melissa and just the beautiful family that they are raising. And I just know that you will be blessed by his message tonight. So please welcome Josh Chupp.
That was quite the shakedown. It was like the first time I was meeting all our friends. It was just like 20 of you bombarding me. It's fun. I am here. Yes. So like Pastor Becky said, my name is Josh. And tonight I want to talk to you about something that God has been kind of teaching me over the last lot of years, 4 years, 5 years. I want to talk about time and how we use our time. But first, a couple things about me. So first off, I'm a Christian. Yay. I doubt Pastor Becky would invite someone up here who's not, but it'll make sense. First off, I'm a Christian. Second off, like she said, I'm a husband and father. My wife Melissa and the three blonde kids you see running around at church, usually trying to steal bananas out of the Dream Team room. And yeah. And third, I'm a controls engineer. I program big forklifts. They take things, they pick them up automatically, they go drop them off somewhere else. That's what I do all day. So it's kind of a strange set of things to tell people about yourselves in a situation like this, but they're really important because they're the three large categories that take up the bulk of my time, right? So we've got, I'm a Christian, God, and I am a husband and father. We've got family, and I'm a controls engineer. It's work. God, family, and work. And they're such important things and big things in my life that I've kind of built them out into this framework over time where it's like, I have these three things, and I need to keep them in the correct order. God, then family, then work. And that, I think everyone could agree that seems like the right order. Yeah, let's do that. But there's a problem with that. And the problem is that time works out to be completely opposite of that. So I'll tell you what I mean. So here's my normal schedule on a normal work week day. So I wake up at 5:30, eat breakfast, get dressed, go to work. Then I'm at work from 6:30 to 4:30, get home, do evening stuff, get dinner ready, feed everybody dinner, try to keep the kids from killing each other all evening, and then it's getting them into bed, and then finally by 8 o'clock everybody's in bed, and I have 8 o'clock to 9:30 to do whatever it is I need to do yet that night. So I got an hour and a half there. If we break it down, so we got a 24-hour day, I sleep for 8 hours, hopefully, usually not, and so we got to take 8 hours right off the top. So now we're down to 16 hours. I got 16 hours in my day. 10 of those hours go straight to work. Now I've got 6 hours. 4.5 hours, if you say that all that time in the morning and the evening is with my family, 4.5 hours of that goes to my family, which leaves me with an hour and a half that I could theoretically put towards spending time with God. So if we're really generous to me and say I do all that, we still end up with my day being completely opposite in terms of time of my priorities. So my priorities, God, family, work, but my time is spent work, family, God. So, and I don't think this is a problem that just applies to me. I don't think it's a problem that just applies to a guy with a family. I think it applies to people who are retired. I've met enough of them to know that they're just as busy as me, if not more busy. My wife doesn't have a job, but she works probably more than I do at home. I've even met high schoolers who say they have no time, which is pretty laughable, but they feel like it, right? So how do we rectify this problem of our priorities being opposite of our time? How do we keep these straight? Family above work, I think, is a little bit easier one for me. You'd have to ask my wife to see if that's true, but I feel like there's a couple things with that. I do actually get to spend a decent amount of time with my family for my situation personally. And there's kind of a thing where work can be for our family, right? So 1 Timothy 5:8 says, "But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." So God's very clear. We should work to support our families and take care of them. So it's kind of a cheat for all the guys. I'm working for you. But obviously it doesn't give us free rein to be workaholics, ignore our families. We need to take the time and spend with them. But the harder one for me, and maybe some of you, is finding that time to spend with God. How do we keep God as our top priority if we have so little time? If we're looking back at what I said, I had an hour and a half. Our lives can get really busy with all the things we need to do. They can get dangerously busy. And I say dangerously on purpose because Jesus has quite a bit to say about that in the parable of the sower. So Matthew 13:3-8, and he told them many things in parables, saying, "A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Obviously, as was typical for the disciples, none of them really knew what Jesus was talking about. So he goes on to explain it then in verse 18. "Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while, and when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, he immediately falls away." And this is the part that's kind of important for our time. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. So we can hear the word, we can hear the good news of God, and it doesn't make any impact on our lives because the cares of this world, taking care of our families, ourselves, and the deceitfulness of riches work, just choke out all of that, everything we've heard about God, the good news that God has planted in our hearts can be completely choked out by our busyness. There was a last group in that parable. It says, as for what was grown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. So how do we become that last group of people where the word of God can grow in our lives, we can grow closer to God, and not get choked out by the cares of this world? I think one of the first things we could think about when we start thinking about that is that the whole premise of this is kind of a lie, because I divided it up into neat little categories. I had God, and then I had family, and then work. But those things don't stay in little isolated boxes, right? We should be bringing God into everything we do. We should be bringing God into our time with our families. We should be bringing God into our time at work. We can be praying about the big meeting we have. We can be conducting ourselves at work in a way that other people know we're Christians and can be a witness to that. They don't need to stay in isolated boxes like that. We can be praying throughout our day. It's not like we just turn off our Christianity when we go to work or spending time with our families. The other thing is that we actually have more time than we probably think we have, because I swept my day into very broad categories again. And that's not really true when you start to break it down. So I'll never forget, I was in college and I said, I don't have any time, which again, laughable, now that I'm a parent with three kids. But I really felt that way. Pastor Becky mentioned I was involved in Crew, and through that I had a discipler who was someone who just would check in on me and how I'm doing and my walk with God and whatever. And so I was talking to him one day. I'm like, Kyle, I don't have any time. I want to spend time with God. I want to really dig in. The only time I really have consistently is like my 15 minutes during lunch before I have to go to my next class. And I want to spend more time than that. So I'm trying to spend more time in the evenings, like set aside like an hour or something to really study. But it never really happens. And he kind of just looked at me like I was from another planet or an idiot. I'm not sure. He looked at me and he's like, you know that's never going to work, right? He's like, use the time that you have, that 15 minutes, read your Bible, get that done, make it a priority. Then if you can schedule that time in the evening, then you have time to study more, which is a very simple thing. But it kind of just highlights, like, we have those times throughout the day that we can use. We just choose not to. I was doing it well-intentioned, but it was still very silly. And so we have quite a bit of those times throughout the day. For me in college, it was that lunch break. But a lot of times we have time, a little bit of time before we go to bed. We have a little bit of time when the kids are distracted for a little bit. We have, my favorite is on the way into work. On the way into work, I don't have a very long drive, so I have like 15 minutes driving into work. That's perfect to throw on like a couple chapters of the Bible on audiobook. A couple guys in the church showed me a really cool app called Through the Word that like has a short like teaching on a single chapter a day. That's really good. So we should use those small times throughout the day in a way that draws us closer to God. And then another thing is that sometimes we do just need to set aside some of those larger chunks of time. All of you guys managed to set aside Wednesday night to come out, right? Even though the weather was bad. We set aside Sunday to get to church. Some of us are involved in small groups and can set aside that time to spend time in a Bible study or with more Christians. Or maybe it's just setting aside time to study the Bible at home on your own. Sometimes we really do just need to carve out that time to spend with God. And that one can be really hard, especially for me, because if you talk to my wife, you'll know I am the king of having unfinished projects. So I have so many things I want to do around the house, whether it's for fun or because I feel like they really need to get done. And so not doing those projects and instead spending the evening studying my Bible or something, very difficult. But I promise you, you can still get things done and take the time to spend time with God. I feel like it's kind of like tithing, where we say, you know, God will be generous to us as we give to him. I feel like it's the same thing with time. I think we can rely on the fact that if we're good stewards of our time and spend it in a way that's pleasing to God, he will give us the time we need to get the things we need done. At least that's been my experience. And I'm not perfect at it at all, but this is what I've been learning over the last, like I said, 5 years or something like that. And the other thing is, when we say we don't have time, I dare you to look at the usage on your phone and see how much time you spend on TikTok or Facebook Reels for me or whatever it is. I guarantee you have time. Or maybe it's Sudoku puzzles or books or whatever it is for you, but you have time. We should use it. We should use it in a way that draws us closer to God and keeps him as our top priority, right? Again, God, then family, then work. Keep our priorities straight. We need to keep our lives oriented that way. The categories aren't exclusive. They bleed over into each other, right? We should use the small amount of time that we have in a way that's glorifying to God so that the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches don't choke out the word of God in our hearts and so that we can bear the fruit that God wants us to bear.
Such a good word. You had to go and talk about the phone right away. Just kidding. I told somebody once when we were talking about favorite apps, and I'm like, I love the one like when you scroll over and it like shows you how much time you spent on apps. And they looked at me and they said, the settings? I'm like, well, yeah, I do love that one actually, because I love to see how much time I could free up in my life to do more meaningful things. Thanks so much, Josh. Such a great, always timely word. Such a common struggle, right? We try to figure out this timing and priorities, and I'm so grateful for that reminder that God can be our priority without us giving him the largest amount of time. Although equally so when Josh said, but we bring him everywhere. So really, 24/7 can be his. So thanks for that reminder, Josh, and that challenge. I'm going to just quickly, again, most of you have probably been here before. If you have kids here with you tonight, we would just ask you once we dismiss, if you would just go grab the grade school age and the preschool age. We're going to let the youth run the gamut of their time. They finish up at about 8 o'clock, but that way we get the best of the soup before they come. Just kidding. Well, I'm not kidding, actually. That's true. We do get the best of it. but if you wouldn't mind grabbing your younger kids before that, and you will know when the youth are done because they smell the soup in the building and they will be down this way in a heartbeat. So thanks so much for coming out. When you drive home, please do make sure that you just take it very, very slowly. Say a prayer before you head out as well, and we're going to just pray ourselves out as well. Lord, I thank you so very much for this time. I'm grateful for the reminder that our time is precious. And so we pray that you have been honored by our choice to come and worship you and lean into the message that Josh has for us tonight. God, I pray that as we go out of this room, that we would just be mindful of your presence with us. Lord, that whether it's eating soup this evening or tucking our kids into bed later or all the things that we put our time to, that we would continue to invite you into those places and demonstrate through our lives that you are first. Help us, Lord, to discern well how to capitalize on our time and to live in a way that aligns well with the gifts, the responsibilities, and the blessings that you have given us. We ask that you would bless the food that's been prepared tonight. We ask that you would bless the hands that prepared it. And we pray that our conversations would be honoring and glorifying to you. We ask it all. Oh, and Lord, when we go home tonight, we ask just your hedge of protection over all these people and those who are out on the roads as well. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for coming, everybody. We'll look forward to seeing you out there for shoot and then on Sunday. Thanks again, Josh.